Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on motherhood, wellness, self-love, and more. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back on the Panthers Playoff Preview Special right here on 560 Sports WQAM. Doug Plagans, Billy Lindsay here with you. Trevor Harris on the other side of the glass. And, well, we can't preview anything. It's been proven. We can't preview anything until we bring on our next guest, one of my favorite associates from the Associated Press. You can find him on Twitter at @ByTimReynolds because his name is Tim Reynolds. Tim, how are you this evening? Thanks for stopping by. And they're making you wait till Tuesday for game one. What do you think about that? What are you going to do till then?
Do you have a bleep button? Because you might want to get it ready. This schedule is stupid. I am furious about this schedule. Gary Bettman lives in South Florida. I know it's not him drawing up the schedule, and TV drives, you know, TV sets it up. But if the Heat make the playoffs, you've got the Panthers and Heat playing at the same time Saturday. You've got them both playing on Monday night, both at home. The fact that, I mean, this thing could have started Sunday. It could have started Monday. I don't know. I'm glad Tampa gets optimal rest, and the Panthers maybe get less than optimal rest. I think it's almost too long of a break for them. But look, they've dealt with long breaks before. Sergei will do what Sergei feels is necessary to keep himself sharp. And as long as Sergei's sharp, the rest of it will just you take your chances with the rest of it. But no, I am not pleased about this.
Is everything okay with your car? I didn't mean to cut
that's
you off.
That's in my house. What's going on?
Oh, Billy, is your car still out front?
Yeah, someone. Carrie, I guess, was my wife was out
well,
there.
Tim, I apologize. We were just making sure Billy's car was still there.
Yeah, still there.
I'm glad. You know why? Because, you know, the last time I heard a horn honking like that was on Fort Lauderdale Beach in that thunderstorm last year when we had a little parade.
So.
Yeah.
So, Tim, diving into the series, it starts a little bit late, gives Chucky a little time to rest. You know what? We go up against the Heat, that's fine. Everything going on. It's hockey world. Hockey fans are going to be tuned in. Basketball fans will take their choice. I don't think you'll get too much of a split or division on that side of it. But as you go into this, and with the Panthers taking the strategy of rest over trying to grab home ice or even trying to take the division title the last five or six games, what's your take on that? Would you have done that same thing and making sure everyone is healthy and rested here, knowing that you might have a 6-7 day break before you actually start the playoffs?
No, probably not. But there's a reason for that. I'm not as smart as Paul Maurice is. I wanted 100 points. I wanted home ice. I wanted the division. None of that stuff matters. You see all the time in hockey, 8 seeds beat 1 seeds, wild cards beat champion. It's about playing your best hockey and giving yourself the best opportunity to get through the 2-month grind. Paul Maurice knows if this team isn't healthy, they can't win. That's for any team. But, you know, the Panthers have to look at this differently than any of the other 15 teams in the Stanley Cup playoffs. They've played the most hockey over the last 3 years. Back-to-back Stanley Cup final runs means there are more miles on this team than anybody else, and that changes the thinking because playoff miles are much harder miles than regular season miles. They've had short off seasons 2 years in a row. A lot of teams haven't had that problem. It's a great problem to have for the Panthers. Paul Maurice showed a lot of guts, I think, in saying we are absolutely prioritizing rest and health over everything. Now, Matthew Tkachuk is legitimately injured. We don't know where he's at in the recovery. We don't know what percentage he is, but we know he's been legitimately hurt for a couple of months. We know guys have been banged up. This team will have no problem winning road games. That's been proven. So it's a gutsy move. I wouldn't have had the guts to do it, Billy, which is why I said I wouldn't have done it. But I think it was the absolute best path for this team to get to where it wants to go. It had to do this. And if it's good enough for Paul Maurice and Bill Zito, it should be good enough for everybody else.
He's Tim Reynolds from the Associated Press, kind enough to stop by here this evening. And Tim, that kind of goes into a big picture question I wanted to get to with you, because you've been around championship teams in various sports in the past. As far as this Panthers team navigating through a championship defense season, how do you think this version of the Panthers handled being the defending Stanley Cup champions? Because I think I speak for everybody around. I felt like the business-like approach they brought in out of training camp, it was a team that came in looking for more. They were ready to come in and defend that championship. There was nobody who was just sitting on it being comfortable that they were the defending Stanley Cup champions. It felt like an impressive group to be around every single day.
Well, you're absolutely right on that. My read on it is exactly the same as what you said. I don't think they feel like they're defending anything. I think they are forever going to be the 2024 Stanley Cup champions. And now that that's in the bank, this team has set out all year to be the 2025 Stanley Cup champions. Paul Maurice had opportunities this summer. I mean, everybody gets a day with the cup. You know, the head coach could have hoisted the cup a few more times than he did. He hoisted it on the ice on June 24th. He hoisted it at the parade. He has not hoisted it since. He had opportunities this summer to do it. It was part of his own mindset. Hey, I've won it. Last year was great. We move on. And a lot of his players have had the very same approach. You can't skip steps. If you're trying to win a championship, you can't skip steps. And the fact that there's a big white banner hanging over center ice saying Stanley Cup champions is not a ability to skip steps card. This team has, I think, gone about it the exact right way. Look, nobody changed. Like, guys' demeanor didn't change. The way guys talk to us didn't change. The way guys treat each other didn't change. The makeup of the room, the personalities are different. I mean, obviously, there's some names in there now that weren't in there a year ago, so it's not exactly the same team. But the business-like way they go about, you see it in their skate. You see it in the way they practice. You see it in the way they talk to us pregame, postgame, the messaging Paul Maurice puts out there. It's exactly the same when you think about it. As a year ago, winning it didn't change anything for these guys. Okay, they won one. Great. They want to win this one, and that's the difference. It's not even about winning another one, Dougie and Billy. It's not even about them saying, we want a second one. They just want this one, and that's the approach they had a year ago, and it worked, and I think it's absolutely the right approach.
Yeah, I'd agree with you on that point. And, Tim, the one thing going into this is that – you look at the regular season, it's hard after you've been to back-to-back Stanley Cups. And you look at a few players up and down the line, maybe Carter Verhaeghe, he's going to have to get maybe take it to another level, the expectations. He's been such a heroic player in these playoffs. The emergence of Mackie Samuskevich and what he's meant, looks like he's solidified himself into a top-nine role. That could push players like Evan Rodriguez, Jesper Voelqvist, down into a bottom line fit. But there is... again, the potential to have two fourth lines like they did with a centerman, Stenlund last year, Nico Sturm this year. And then if anything goes wrong in that top nine rotation, there's all kinds of flexibility within that rotation. But I guess a couple of players that I would look at is Carter Verhaeghe is going to have to be the Carter Verhaeghe that we know and love. He was snake bitten during the regular season. And also Mackie Samuskevich, this is a bright spotlight for a young kid to come in and never experience the playoffs. He's used to the pressure, but we'll see if he's able to. You have to be able to take your regular season play and also bring that to another level. Do you have faith in Mackie Samuskevich and a player like Carter Verhaeghe that, okay, the regular season was great for Mackie, kind of underwhelming for Carter Verhaeghe, that they can be there and really be a force for this team once they get into game 83.
You know, I would also say that it was kind of an off season for Carter Verhaeghe, and he scored 20 goals. So maybe you and I need to lower our expectations.
Yeah. Well, that's true.
He's still a 20 goal guy.
Yeah, shooting percentage this year was 7.9, around 8%. Yeah, his average
eight,
for his,
was, I think he's average to eight. The flurry at the end, because he got three in the last four that he played. Mm-hmm. So that, I think that pushed him to eight. Look, I would much rather have Carter Verhaeghe shooting 33% in his last four games than shooting 7% in the first 78. I would rather have him going into the playoffs with a good taste in his mouth. It's certainly not to suggest that he doesn't care about the regular season. That is absolutely not the case. Carter Verhaeghe, when all the chips are in the middle of the table, Carter Verhaeghe has a history of showing up. I'm not worried about Carter Verhaeghe. That is a big game, big moment player. He knows what's asked of him. Mackey is interesting to me. He has that corner locker in the locker room in Fort Lauderdale at the War Memorial. His locker's in the corner, and he kind of, I don't know if it's by design or not, but he's got a pretty good vantage point where he can see everybody, and he can continue being a sponge and continue learning. He's got young legs. He hasn't been through these back-to-back runs to the Stanley Cup final. He doesn't have anywhere near the miles on him that the Barkies and the Verhaeghes and the Reinhardts and the Bennetts and the Tkachuks have. He's going to have some jump. I don't think the moment is going to be too big. I think early on, when he was waiting for that first goal, it took him, I it took him a few games to finally get one. After that, I think he played pretty solidly. Paul loves him. The teammates, his teammates speak very highly of him. And he just seems like, a really happy kid. He's not trying to be the star. He's not trying to act like a top six guy. He's just accepting his role. And that's really tough for a young, very talented kid to do. And he's had the brains to do it. But I'm going to throw a third guy in there, too, and you mentioned him. I think for the Panthers to get to where they want to go, I think they need a big couple of months from Evan Rodriguez, who was fantastic, especially in the Stanley Cup final last year. I thought he had an incredible Stanley Cup final. I thought he might have been the best, other than Bob, he might have been the best player on the ice in Game 7 for the Panthers. He was absolutely flying. The little things that Evan can do, that depth that they have, you're right. Paul Maurice is going to have two fourth lines, basically, to pick from. And he's not going to be afraid. If he's got to make a change, he's not afraid to have a tough conversation with somebody. He's got a lot of options, and he's shown a history of being able to to push the right buttons. But I'm Carter Verhaeghe, when the money's in the middle of the table, Carter Verhaeghe shows up. I'm not worried about Swaggy.
Tim Reynolds, Associated Press, here with us. Tim, how excited are you to see number 63 in his first postseason as a Florida Panther?
I've seen him in past postseasons with the Florida Panthers. I wasn't that excited. I'm pretty excited about this one. He's just so, I think when it happened, when the trade happened, obviously there's no denying the talent. And Billy knows this far better than you and I do. But, that a trade like that in basketball would be really difficult. In hockey, it's just very welcoming. And the fact that Brad Marchand has been Brad Marchand, he didn't change when he got to the Florida Panthers. He introduced himself to the group text with, I am told, not just a chirp, but a particularly chirpy chirp, if you know what I mean. That's who he is. He gets a goal the other night, and, guys are going back and forth with him in the locker room, saying some pretty, pretty mean stuff to the outside world. In hockey, it's wonderful. He's spoken with great understanding of what this team's capability is. He also knows that he may not walk this way too many more times. He's 36. He's got time left, but this is a chance to win a cup. He knows that. And I think he is going to do all he can to help the Panthers get to this goal, because it's just gone better than I thought. Again, Billy knows better than the two of us on how hockey players can integrate a rival into their network almost seamlessly. It doesn't happen in other sports. It's happened here brilliantly. And also, guys, too, I think another big point, getting him when he was a little banged up, I think that actually, in the grand scheme of things, was huge for the Panthers, because it allowed him time to acclimate to this new world. This new world of Florida, where it's 82 degrees when you show up for practice and everybody's in shorts and flip-flops all the time. It's just a different environment down here. than what he had been used to for his entire adult life as a Boston Bruin. The fact that he got to take some time before just jumping right into the lineup and having guys every night say, you're going to score tonight. He had a month, really, to get ready. I think that was critical for him to feel like one of the guys before he truly became part of the rotation.
And, Tim, if you go to last year, maybe the biggest thing that I look at is the difference from last year maybe to this year is the back end, as the defensive core. That you had Montour last year. You had Oliver Ekman-Larsson. You had some players that could move the puck. They were into this team. Montour had been with the team for a while. OEL came right on board right at the start of last year. All of a sudden, you get Seth Jones at the trade deadline. That makes a big difference. You're going to miss Ekblad for the first couple of games in this Tampa Bay series. And I guess on that defensive side of the puck, if you look at the whole total of the defensemen going into the playoffs this year, where would you say they're at defensively as compared to last year in your own personal opinion?
Well, for starters, I mean, just the sheer size of these men, Billy. I mean, these guys are offensive linemen. I mean, they're giant human beings. So you can tell that Bill Zito, when he's out there looking for guys to add to the mix, he's got a type. I mean, Ecky's going to be one of the smaller ones when he gets back. That's crazy. So there is just a wall of red that teams will have to navigate their way through. I know fans can sometimes look at stats and they don't see a lot from Seth Jones. I think he's fitting in well. I think he wanted to be here for this time of year. The fact that he hasn't played a meaningful hockey game. Tuesday's going to be the first game that really matters, let's face it, for Seth Jones in a long time. I think that will bring out something extra in him. It is a different group. It's a different structure. I don't think it's as airtight as it was a year ago, and I think they're still going to have to figure a lot of things out on the fly. Expecting Aaron Ekblad to be great in game three when you haven't played in 2 months, that's going to be a bit of a challenge. I mean, that's a huge task, is getting him back up to speed and figuring out how that's all going to work. The saving grace to me, you have Sergei. So as long as the defense does its job, the defense doesn't have to be perfect. If it just does its job very well, as you would expect from that group, because there's obviously immense talent, you know, and on those three lines, there's going to be just immense talent. They just have to do their job and let Sergei do the rest. Sergei is the ultimate equalizer. You know, Tampa's, it was Sam Reinhart that talked today about the lessons learned by the Panthers when they got swept by the Lightning. The Lightning last year were not a good defensive hockey team. They were not. The Lightning this year are a pretty good defensive hockey team. You know why? Because they learned from the Florida Panthers. So to me, that's almost like the tip of the cap from the guys across the state saying, all right, we see what you guys are doing. We're going to try to emulate that maybe a little bit more than we have the last couple of years. So the Panthers, I think, are on to something. I just don't think it's clicking as well as it was last year. But given the changes, given Ecky being out now for 18 games, two more to go before he can come back, you wouldn't expect it to be as seamless as it's going to be. Now, having said that too, if you get through round one, the more time these guys have together, that's the unit that can improve a ton if you're going to go deep. If you're going to make another four-round run, these guys, if they stay together – by June 1st, this could be really something, and that's when you would really want it to be really something.
He's Tim Reynolds from the Associated Press, kind enough to stop by here. Tim, we thank you so much, as always, for joining us. We can't have a preview show without you stopping by. You can find him on Twitter, the platform formerly known as Twitter, @ByTimReynolds. Tim, again, can't thank you enough for stopping by, and we look forward to seeing you out at the Stanley Cup playoffs coming up very soon. Thanks again, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Tim. Your Augusta stories the other day were awesome.
Thank you. But, guys, I have to leave you with this. I'll see you at the parade.
All right. We'll see you there.
See you there, my friend.
Tim Reynolds of the Associated Press, kind enough to stop by. One of our favorite guests has his finger on the pulse of everything across the South Florida sports scene like nobody else. And great to catch up with him there. You can find him on Twitter again, at by Tim Reynolds.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.